I get back from the long run and I like have a protein drink in the shower and then I put my legs up. Like, I wasn't doing any of that when I was 19 years old. I was finishing a meet, our bus would get back to Boston and we would all just start drinking in the shower. Like, I would be having shower beers.
Hey, and welcome back to the next episode. If you missed this one the first time, you absolutely have to listen to it again. We're speaking with Laura Green today, and if you did listen to it the first time, trust me, I just re-listened to it, and it's worth re-listening to. So I am now on my mini maternity leave. I want to thank you guys so much for sticking with us, saying subscribe during this. I'm going to have a few replays of some of the most fun episodes we've had, and those will come out over the next bit. And then I have done a lot of recording to make sure you guys get new content through the spring and summer when trail running is the best part. So I'm so excited to get so many of these interviews out. They're awesome. Stay subscribed because there'll be some bonus stuff probably come out as well. Definitely on the Patreon, there's some bonus episodes coming out. Maybe one like last week. So if you head over to Trail Running Women Pod and find the link tree there, you can find the Patreon and all of that stuff. And then old episodes come out there too. So there's always lots of new great stories. So for today, we have Laura. Laura was an episode. So I'm speaking as though you guys will know who she is because you will. Laura Green from Instagram, who's making amazing, hilarious videos and still going strong with new content all the time. She's hilarious and gives us a view on running that I think we all need to remind ourselves of, the perspective sometimes of how ridiculous we can be. So this one, whether or not you listen to it the first time, is going to make you smile and is worth listening to again. So we get to know Laura a bit more. We chit chat about life, running, all those sorts of things. And if anything, it will entertain you on your long run, your short run, your walk, or your time sitting in the forest. So thanks so much for everyone who's sticking around through this break. I promise I'm going to sprinkle in some new content too, so it'll be good. It'll be a great summer. Okay, if you want to hear more from us, please find me at Trail Running Women Pod on Instagram, and I will leave it at that.
I'm here today with a guest I've been excited to chat with since your Instagram joke started flooding my inbox a few months ago, calling out all runners for our ridiculousness while simultaneously making us feel better about ourselves, which is a pretty impressive skill. And fresh off the NYC Marathon, welcome to the show, Laura Green.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've done almost 200 interviews and I'm like, this is the most nervous I've ever been. So.
No, what, you say that every time?
Like, I don't.
Oh my gosh. And I got you like fresh out of bed. Like it's 6 a.m. where you are right now.
I know, but that's good. This is most of my, if anybody's ever in Pacific time, I'm like, oh shoot. I don't know if we're going to find a time together. Okay, so for our listeners, I'm sure everybody's heard of you, but if they haven't, you have just blown up on Instagram recently with like hilarious bits that are so relatable to everybody. But before we get into those, let's start with just a history of your life, because from my creeping skills, this kind of thing is pretty new to you. So let's start with like, were you a runner as a kid? What were your original goals with running and career and that sort of thing?
Yeah. So, okay, ready for my life story?
Yes, that's what we do.
So I grew up in upstate New York, Hopewell Junction, New York, and I am from a big family. So there's 5 of us. I'm the middle. I have an older brother, older sister, younger brother, younger sister. So like I kind of have it all. And we're all athletes. So big soccer players, basketball players. And then my older brother got into running cross country when he hit high school. And then it just kind of took off from there because it's not a sport that my parents knew. It's not something that was like built into our family. My parents are not runners. So it was because of my brother that we all ended up being runners. He was really good. And then, so then my sisters and I were like, well, are we going to be good? You know? So my older sister got really into it. They ended up doing track, indoor and outdoor track as well. I continued on with basketball through high school and I did cross country basketball. And then we had soccer in the spring. And then I did track like a couple years when I realized that like I needed to do it to get into a college I wanted to go to. But I feel really grateful for all of that. Like, I'm really happy I never did indoor track in high school when, like, everyone's running circles around the shoveled parking lot. It just looked so hard and depressing while I was in my warm gym. And I just think it just made me a stronger runner in the end, because we were a very, very big high school. And because of that, we also had a really strong track program. So we had some very, very fast runners on our team, which was incredible. But it also just like can feed into a really competitive culture. And our coaches did an amazing job of making sure that we like remembered that we were teenagers first and students and before we were runners. So anyways, it just like built a really strong base for me, which I feel really fortunate for now being 36 years old and watching the kids on the social media. And I feel so bad in a way of like these runners that are like posting about their races. And I'm like, you're 14.
That's what I was going to say. That's so amazing because like I said, we've had so many interviews and a lot of people have run in college or high school. And you honestly might be the first person who was like, yeah, my coach really reminded me like that I was a child first and not a 14-year-old that needed to be 5 pounds less or something.
Oh my gosh. We had the best coaching staff ever. Steve Perks and Mary Sclafani were unbelievable. And they were able to get the best out of us. Like we're competing at the highest level. But then they were also like looking over at some of the top teams in New York State. And I'm not going to call them out, but they're still a problem today. And everyone knows who they are. I mean, you have these, especially the girls team, you have these prepubescent girls who are so, so tiny and they're being encouraged to stay tiny. And when they get their periods, it's like this really traumatic experience because it usually means a little bit of weight gain and a body change. And it's just so terrible. Whereas like our coach like had a full on party for us if anyone ever got their period and made it something that we could like talk about. And I didn't even know the impact they were having me at on me at the time, but it was so important. And my coaches even like, they were like, okay, like you probably should be doing track. Like you probably shouldn't be on the basketball court if you want to be a D1 runner. But if this is what you want to do and it makes you happy, go for it. Like they weren't pressuring me or my parents to put me in track. You know, like those decisions were really pivotal in just making sure that I was a lifelong runner and not just a runner that only made it to age 18.
Yeah, I think it has to be fun first.
Yeah.
My parents did a great job of that too. I was a hockey player and I knew a lot of people that like even, and I played in the NCAA as well, once they got there, they were like afraid to leave the dressing room after because of how mad their parents might be or something. And then as soon as they had like enough confidence to quit, they did. Like, what is the point of this?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, certain sports really like you probably don't really extend your whole life. Like I'm sure there's pickup hockey right now, but it's a little bit harder to do. Whereas like running truly is a lifelong sport if you can manage it. And so I don't know. I haven't like entered that space yet of like working with high school runners, but it's in the back of my mind because of like giving back to like what I was given and what I was like able to gain from it and just seeing how important it is to have the right role models in your corner.
Totally. But you could argue that you're doing that already. For sure. Because calling out the stuff that everybody's thinking and then we're like, oh, never mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then how was your university experience?
University experience was very fun. So I went to Northeastern University in Boston and I ran the 800, did cross country indoor and outdoor. And it was the coaching wasn't the same. It's a little bit different of an experience for sure, but I had the best team. So honestly, like I did not capitalize on like proper training. I mean, I trained really hard, but I look back on it and I'm like, well, I also partied really hard. I also like
I can relate to that.
Cafeteria experience. Again, I'm very lucky. I didn't have coaches ever really talk to me about my weight or anything like that. That wasn't part of my culture of running, but definitely wasn't like hitting my potential, which as a runner, like kind of like I think about now and I'm like, man, if I just had like the right coaching combined with like the right nutrition, like I wonder what I could have done.
Oh my God. Who could I have been,
you know?
But isn't that saying like the youth is wasted on the young or something? Like
yes.
At 36, you're like, oh yes, yes, that's correct.
Right. Like I think about like how my 36-year-old body like needs rest and like recovery. And like I get back from a long run and I like have a protein drink in the shower and then I put my legs up. Like I wasn't doing any of that when I was 19 years old. I was finishing a meet. Our bus would get back to Boston and we would all just start drinking in the shower. Like I would be having shower beers. And so yes. I like look at that and I'm like, oh, poor body. You poor thing.
But it was fun.
It was so fun. It was so fun. And lifelong friends. So like, I don't know. That's more so what I gained from college were the friendships, not really the running PRs. But no, I felt really grateful. I mean, I was able to run at a high level and with like a really great team. Like we had, we actually switched conferences halfway through college. So we were first in America East, then CIA. And we were always like in the top of our, if not winning the title. So like, it was cool to be on like a really fast team. Like we had incredible sprinters on our team. It was just really fun. But yeah. And then, so I graduated college and I was like, I don't ever want to see a track again. And I still kind of feel that way. So I just kind of kept running for fitness and fun and have like started entering marathons, but just to more like as a fundraising thing. And I had like no concept of how to train for a marathon. The 800 is a lot different than the 26 miles. And I still kind of stand by that. But yeah, so I did like a handful. I don't know. I've done like a handful of marathons over the years. I've always trained enough to like get to the starting line well, but I don't think I don't know what proper training is for a marathon. Like I know mileage wise, but in terms of like workout and speed and like really getting your PR down, like I don't know. I've never done that because I've never
You're going to have like 800 coaches in your inbox after this.
Oh, no, I have a coach. I do have a coach now. My friend Amanda Mears.
Okay, good. Disclaimer.
But she just kind of like, she knows my personality though. So she's like, I'm not about to give her like, yeah, so 800s.
yeah, she's kind of thinking that.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, and I've done like one trail 50K. I've done a couple trail marathons. That was really fun. I lived in San Francisco for 7 years. So a big part of my running was just like fire road trail running. But again, it was never really training hard for anything. It just has been a big part of my running community, friendship. You know, it's just like how you said this was like a long run. Like that's a big part of my social life. It's just the most fun way to connect with people. So
totally.
And that kind of gets me here. Yeah.
So were you, this is such a weird question, but like, were you the funny person on the team in university as well?
No, I have so many funny friends. And I actually was so honored. I got to do a panel sitting next to Alicia Montano before the marathon. And she obviously was a professional 800 meter runner. And I asked her, I was like, am I the only one who thinks that like middle distance runners are the funniest people on the team? And she's like, absolutely. Like the 4x8. Was always, and I was trying to figure out, I've been trying to figure out how to do a skit about this, but like the difference between watching the 4x8 teams warm up compared to like the 4x1 is so different. Like the 4x1, like they're doing all these serious plyos and handoffs. The 4x8 is like catching leaves coming off the trees and like, like they're just like a different brand of human. I think it just is like a little masochistic to like choose that as your event. So like you have to have a good sense of humor about it. But yeah, so like my friends are like way funnier than I am. they're less likely to put a camera in front of their face. So like, that's the reason that they're not out there doing what I'm doing, but like they're funnier than I am for sure.
I guess you have to be surrounded by the people you want to be like or whatever that.
Yeah. Whatever
cheesy thing is like.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like I didn't know that about middle distance, but it makes sense. I feel like it's like a goalie in hockey. Like they're just to choose that something is off.
Something's a little off. And you just have to roll with it.
So after university, you're just running for fun. What did your career path look like?
So I'm a physical therapist. So when I graduated, me and my best friend, who's actually not a runner, which is like a fun balance to have friends that are not runners too. her and I were traveling physical therapists. So we moved every like 3 to 6 months. And we lived in all these different cities around the US and took these terrible jobs, but we had such a good time. We kind of compared it to being a college student, but with a really nice paycheck. So we like lived in Chicago and then San Francisco and then Boston. And then I went up to Alaska by myself for a summer. And then in between we would travel. So one time we went, in between contracts, we went to Nepal and India for a few months. And then one time we went to Turkey and Greece for a few months and like just living life. So that's also why I was never really into like racing or anything, because I was just kind of running to explore these new cities that I was living in. And yeah, so then after going back to SF 3 times, the third time I met my now husband, and then we just stayed for 5 years, where I started November Project San Francisco. So I brought November Project out there and again, just like wanted to meet more people like me. So I started a thing that would attract them to it.
Smart.
So I was like, I need friends who wants to work out in the mornings with me. And so like, that's why, like, I think especially the people in San Francisco are probably not that surprised by this like newest like influx of videos, because I seriously treated like November Project as like my stand-up bit routine session. Like, it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So 3 times a week, I got to stand up in front of a group and tell jokes and like see what was working.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
I'm not even a stand-up comedian, but it was just like my outlet and like my way to like kind of like chat in front of people, which is something I really enjoy. And so, yeah. And so I forget what the question was. Oh, my career. So, and then we moved back here when I had my first kid. To Boston. And yeah, I've been a PT. Pandemic shut it down. I stayed home with my kid. I realized that 6 months of being home with an 18 month old is like not it. Yeah. I've always known that like stay at home parents are like far superior to me, but like that really just hit it home. I was like, go to school. And so we finally got him back into daycare. And I went back to work in a hospital, and then this started picking up and I was like, I could take a break from PT. I like taking breaks from PT. It's not the first time that I've done it or that I've like slowed it down and only done a few shifts a week. And I've always liked the balance of one, like a healthcare job and then a creative job. So
yeah. And it's not like it's not a job that you can go back to. So how old are your kids? You have 2 now, right?
I got 2 kids. They are 4 and 1.5.
So you are in a busy household.
I'm in it.
What's your favorite age so far?
Yes. I actually really like where the 4-year-old is at. 18 months is super cute, but he's still not talking much. And it's just a lot of grunting. whining. Whereas the 4-year-old's like very much a person, like we can go out and do fun things together. But the 4-year-old is very, very, very attached to the 18-month-old. It's very sweet. And so the 2 boys are inseparable and he doesn't even want to go out. Like I'm like, do you want to have a special afternoon with mom? And he's like, no, only if Julian comes. I'm like, oh, God. Julian ruins everything. Like, we can't even bring him to the library. He just tears all the books off the walls. Like, I need just a little calm. But, yeah, they're awesome. It's just very loud. very, very loud in our house.
Yes. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And that's actually really nice. Like, I have a 3-year-old and we're considering a second kid, but I'm like, I am worried that the older one would just murder him at this point. But maybe in real life, it's different.
Yeah, I mean, that might happen, but... I mean, one time I left them alone and Jack had a pillow over Julian's face. Like, stuff like that happens, like unintentional murders. But they are like wildly in love. Like, they have so much fun together. And I was like, oh, this was a good choice. And I'm also really lucky that I was able to conceive a second, you know, like, I know a lot of people don't have that. So I don't know. It's been both like chaotic, but also nice. Cause they are starting, like, we're almost at the age where Julian can actually be trusted in the other room with Jack, you know?
I like to sweat a little bit just when you said that.
The younger one is like far more aggressive and far more physical. Jack is like a pretty docile 4-year-old. Like, he's not about to get physical with his little brother, but Julian will come in and tackle him from the waist or like pull his hair or so I don't know. It's always like Julian I'm worried about. Like, he's gonna tear Jack down.
Boys are so funny.
Oh, they're wild. They are wild.
Actually, that's kind of I was gonna ask that anyways, and you hinted to it there. Like, parenthood is so amazing and so hard all at the same time. All the cliches are 100% true. So, like, mm-hmm. what was the biggest surprise in, like, a positive note for parenting for you that you didn't expect?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what you just said. Like, I didn't think it would be so fulfilling. That sounds so bad. I always like knew I wanted kids, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to be a mom. Like, the mom identity was something that I never really bought into, and I still feel a little weird wearing. But it's like so fun to like, also like when you see them do something nice or kind and you're like, yeah. Oh, thank God. Oh, okay. So something we're doing is sticking. Or like when the other day he went to another person's house and like to get everyone's attention, he said, excuse me. And I was like swelling with pride because like usually he just like screams until he gets someone's attention. And I was like, okay, something is sinking in. Like, the 8 million times I've said, please say excuse me, is sinking in. Like, I don't know. It's like you're actually seeing all of this hard work that you and your partner are doing actually come, like, you know, achieve a goal. And you're like, okay, this is actually very, just like very fulfilling. Just like, I don't know. And it's fun. I think I'm still like so much in the thick of it that like, it's fun. But I think I'm like about to have even more fun. I think I'm going to thrive when they're like 5 to 10 years old.
Yeah. And you can do adventures and stuff and like see them really like into stuff.
Yeah. 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 Like no more diapers, no more like sleep schedules, no more naps. Like I love a nap, but like just kind of like go out, explore the day, and like have meals that don't involve food throwing across the restaurant. Like, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that one, that's for sure.
That won't ever happen.
No, I don't. My husband still throws food across the restaurant, so no matter what, we're strapped to that one. Your video, actually, I think I have 8 friends that are pregnant right now. Like, out of my running friends, I had a kid first. It's insane. Yeah. So the video of like trying to go for a stroller run, and all of them right now are like, oh, I'm just going to finish my PhD while he's still a blob. And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm just going to send you this video and watch. I'm just going
to
watch.
So hard, isn't it? To like, because you don't want to say anything. I didn't want to hear it when I was pregnant. And also like, you don't want to be the negative friend.
And they might have a baby that just wants to sleep, and it might be totally possible. And then I'm just going to be raging with jealousy.
I know. And also, like, this is what I think. There is nothing to be gained about being the friend who tells you all the things you won't be able to do.
Totally.
Right? Like what's that going to do? That's only going to make your pregnant friend kind of anxious and even more nervous about being a parent and feeling like their life is over. Like, let them live in the bubble of optimism. You know? Let them have that. I mean, I have this ongoing joke with a couple of my friends where when I was pregnant with my first, I was telling – and they're guys, they're dads. And they were like – I was like, yeah, I just really want to buy – like one of those Sprinter vans, and then we can like go up to Vermont, New Hampshire for the weekends, whatever. And they did everything they could to stifle their laughter, but then it all came pouring out, and they're like, you're not buying a Sprinter van and you're not going camping. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We go camping every weekend. Like, that's not going to stop. And there are incredible parents who make this happen, and maybe that will be you, but that hasn't been us. Like, we just like haven't really tried that hard. And we realize that babies love routine. They love having their same spot. Like, it's even like toddlers, like our kids, I mean, you can make them into whatever you want, and I'll let you think that. But like, sometimes like, you just have to forfeit and say, okay, I'm not getting the Sprinter van this year.
But when they're 5 and 10, the van will come.
When they're between 5 and 10, that Sprinter van, I'm eyeing it. I'm still eyeing it. These guys check in with me like every 6 months, and they're like, hey, have you bought that van yet? I'm like, shut up. Shut
up. And you can do it. You can be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the cool mom, and like, we're going to go on this adventure and like go out to this party, and my baby will just sleep in this room. But I'm like, the thing that you don't see is that then I pay for it from this tiny, angry human for like 3 weeks while he catches up on his routine.
Totally.
So you got to decide what's worth it.
I know. And if that's worth it to you, then make it happen. What I realize is like camping in New Hampshire wasn't worth it to me to like potentially be in a tent and have the baby wake up every 2 hours, whereas at home they'd sleep 12 hours. You know, it's like, I just like, every once in a while it's worth it to me, but not to make it as regular a thing as I had hoped and dreamed it would be, you know. And that's fine. Yeah.
What does your husband do?
He's an ad something.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. That's good.
He works for a big tech company, and I don't know. I don't know what he does all day, guys. We don't talk about work at all.
Well, that was basically my lead-up question into how has it been like getting back into running as a mom, especially with two small ones and like family support and stuff. That's such a common question I get of people being like, how am I going to do it? And I'm like, well, do you have a partner?
Yeah, the partner support is everything. If you don't have that, it does make it far more difficult. Also, your flexibility of work. So, like, we have childcare. Me and my husband both like to work out in the morning. And obviously, that's not possible. Can't just leave your kids in your house as much as I'd love to do that.
No, but every time somebody's like, I have a dog, I know what it's like. I'm like, last time they put a lid on the crib and left. Like, people didn't like it.
We cage our kids. So, yeah, so we alternate every morning, and he gets to ride his bike or I run. And on the days that are not my days, because I have work flexibility now, after they go to daycare, I get my workout in. So, like, this morning I'll probably go for, like, a walk or hop on the bike for a half hour after I talk to you. And, like, that's just how I get it done. When I was working at the hospital, there was no flexibility there, and so that was a lot harder. And I'm aware that many jobs are like that. So sometimes you just don't. And I think that that's kind of also one of the biggest learning curves for me is, like, I don't know. Sometimes you only work out 2 or 3 times a week, and that just has to be okay because that's the season of life that we're in. And weekends for me, like, while it makes the most sense for most people to work out on the weekends because you have the support of your partner hopefully not working, is actually not when I really want to work out, because that's like family time to me. So like, if I'm training for something that requires a longer run, I do them on Monday mornings, and Connor just picks up the slack and he's like with them sometimes through the whole morning into drop off, and I just don't see them because I'm out there for 2.5 hours. Or they start at 5 a.m. or in the fours. And again, safety is always like a concern with those hours, but do my best to be smart and cross my fingers. And that's kind of like what I've learned. I don't make big ostentatious goals right now. Like even just like my, honestly, my number one goal for New York was to get to the starting line healthy. And like, as a woman who's 18 months postpartum with her second, people are like, oh, that's a year and a half. That's a long time. Like, that's really just not that much time.
It's not. Takes a long time. And the studies, you must know as a PT, like things are coming out more and more that like this like 6 week magic button to go running and it's not a real thing.
It's not a real thing. And I mean, it took me 9 months to feel like myself after my first and 12 months after my second. And that doesn't mean I didn't start running. I started running probably 6 months postpartum with both. But like to truly feel like myself, it took over a year. And so to then run a marathon at 18 months was like a little bit scary in terms of what how my it would beat up my body. So yeah, just getting to the starting line healthy was like the biggest goal. And sometimes you only get to run 3 or 4 times a week. And that's okay because that's what you can manage. And that's what also like your body can handle too. So when you're a lifelong runner, it's there. And it does make you feel more like yourself when you get out there for sure. So like there is a mental health component there, but man, for it to be even on our radar for the first 12 months, makes me sad. I don't know. It does.
I just want to take a quick second to thank our sponsors. Our first one is Athletic Greens.
And I started taking AG1 from Athletic Greens back in August because I needed to make sure I was getting everything in my body for optimal performance, recovery, sleep, and immune system. And it's really hard to do. So this is just such an easy way to make sure I'm getting it in every single day. So I take it in the morning. It's the first thing I do while I'm making my coffee. And I feel like I've started my day off on the right foot. And I've also started sneaking a little bit into my son's smoothies in the morning, and it actually tastes good, so he doesn't know it's there. So when he has days where he just isn't going to eat all the fruit and vegetables that he needs, I feel really good about the fact that he is getting 75 super high quality vitamins and minerals and whole food source ingredients that deliver benefits like mood, immune system, and sleep support, and so much more. The number one thing I'm finding is that my gut health is improving. And the more I keep learning, the more I'm realizing that your gut is the key to almost everything from your physical health to even your mental health. So if you want to take ownership of your health, today is a good time to start. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/TRWP. That's athleticgreens/TRWP for Trail Running Women Podcast, and check it out.
Our next sponsor is Olodance Earbuds.
So these are open earbud design, which means they're truly comfortable and amazing for podcast listeners, runners, and music listeners. If you are listening to more than 2 hours a day, these are for you. They never enter the ear, so there's no ear fatigue. They're anti-ear loss, meaning that they're perfect for podcast or music listening while you are running, exercising, cleaning the house, or whatever it is that you're doing, but they fit securely and stay firm on your ears. They also have a 3 times bigger dynamic driver, meaning that it is a wearable stereo with 360 degrees superior sound. The best part for us is that they are safe. So even though you are listening to your favorite podcast, brackets, this one, you never lose track of what's happening around you, which is keeping you safe while keeping you in the moment. So right now, you can check them out at oladance.com/TRW. That's OLADANCE.com/TRW. And use discount code TRW20 to get 20% off your first purchase. That is an amazing deal. So go check them out. Oladance.com/TRW. Use discount code TRW20 at checkout for Trail Running Women. That's TRW20 at checkout for 20% off.
And to feel like you need it to have your identity, like it does. Yeah. You can just chill because your kid's going to go to daycare soon enough. Just wait.
Kid's going to go to daycare. You're going to get into the swing. You're going to get into like your, it's, oh my gosh, before like 12 to 18 months, like, don't even worry about it. But like, how could you ever tell that to a new mom? Like, it's just something you almost have to experience. So then like the second time around, I was just in so much better of a headspace because I just knew. I knew that eventually, like, I'm somebody. this is like another thing I didn't know. I gain more weight postpartum than I do during pregnancy.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a lot of friends that are like that.
Oh, my word. It's so – and it's hard because you're like, wait. Like, I come home from the hospital weighing more, and I'm like, I just birthed a 9-pound baby. How do I weigh more? And like, I – like, in order to nurse my babies or to pump or whatever – and then even afterwards, like, my body holds on to all of the weight that I have. Like, it does not let me release it because it wants it to produce the milk. And so
totally, yeah.
That's just how my body works. My body holds on to 50 excess pounds for at least a year. And it doesn't matter how much running I do. And that's really hard because you're just like, oh, man, I would love to feel like myself again. But oh my gosh, to the moms, like, I just want to be like, it gets better. And you also get used to like having this new body and appreciating your body for what it's doing. But the second baby, I knew what was coming, and that helped immensely because I was like, I've done it once before, I can do it again. And also the second baby, I got on medication the day I left the hospital for postpartum anxiety. And that made a huge difference too.
Oh yeah. That's a good one. And people also for some reason want to shy away from that still when it's like, just crying all the time for no reason. Like, it's okay to get help for this.
It's okay. It's okay. And even if you're not, right, like for Jack, I wasn't crying all the time. I didn't have like those, all the hallmark, like, symptoms of like, you're depressed. It just was like this overall feeling of, I guess, intensity, intense emotion. And I just didn't realize what it was. I didn't know what it was. And so then once I figured that out, like, I, like, in retrospect, I was like, oh my God, the first 6 months I was in the dark. I was like in the weeds. And so then the second time around, I was like, give me the meds. And it's just a tiny little dose. It makes no difference. It does not like touch your breast milk. Like, you don't have to worry about any of the side effects. Well, okay, that I shouldn't say that. Some people do have side effects, but for me, it didn't. And it was such a game changer for my postpartum experience. It was wildly better. So,
oh, that's so good to know.
For anyone who should reach out to, like, if anyone's thinking about it, reach out to your doctor and talk about it because it's a great option.
Do you actually, that's a good question. So I was doing the podcast when I had my son, and I was kind of just having all of the feelings and also just being so tired, and I don't do well on no sleep. And I remember getting one bad review out of the like hundreds of good ones. And instead of focusing on the good ones, I was like so distraught over this one bad review. And I was like crying, like almost shaking, and like, I'm going to quit it. There's no point in doing this. And like, this could have been a robot. Like, I have no idea. And my husband was just like, go to bed. It was like 6 p.m. And I was like, it's just like, this was the end of the world. I was like sweating, like everybody hates me. And then like now I'm like, well, that was ridiculous. So being as public as you are now, especially the last, I guess, like having a younger child, do you have any negativity that comes from people, and how do you deal with that?
So on my personal Instagram, which is where a majority of the people follow me, it's been such a good, positive community that has kind of been formed. And in many ways, that's why I don't want it to grow much bigger, because like, I don't need a million followers. I don't need even 100,000 followers. Like, I like this community that's been built. Like, the people who send me DMs, I do my best to respond to most, and it's become kind of like a regular conversation. You know, it's like you're meeting these people on the internet. So I feel really lucky. I've been making some videos for brands, and one of them is Brooks. And like, I actually choose not to look at the comments when they post my videos because I know it's a much broader audience. And the very first video that they posted, this actually made me laugh out loud. There were two messages that comments that I saw. One was, "Is she trying to be funny? Is this supposed to be funny?" And then the other one was, "Are you trying to sell your product with this? Because I'm never going to buy it." And I like laughed out loud and I was like, okay, like, but then it also taught me, like, it didn't bother me, but I was like, if it were something more personal, it would bother me. And so I know better now. I don't even look at any of them. I look at the ones on my own, but if something like takes off, like a couple videos have taken off where I get a good amount of comments, to be honest, I stop looking at them once it gets to a point where I know the algorithm is taking it, because then it's reaching outside my community. Does that make sense?
Totally. That's a really good way of looking at it.
So once the algorithm takes something on the wave, there's no stopping it. And there's no reason that some videos get taken and some others, I don't know how it works, but like once I know something's like really, like the comments start building up, I stop looking because I'm like, this could very easily go in the other direction where people are just going to start being mean. And I just don't need it. I'm a mom. I got shit to do. I don't need to be on my phone looking at messages, making fun of how not funny I am. So I don't know.
That's great. That's such a good like way of kind of dealing with it and just being like aware of the garbage that can be the internet. So you don't have to look at it or engage with it.
It's such garbage most of the time.
So let's get into some of your stuff a little bit before we run out of time here, because it's going very fast. So it looks like, as with seems to happen with content creators, you like post a couple videos that start to take off and then just get on a roll, and then in your case, get to take a big break and do this exclusively. So talk us a bit through like how this got going and like what started to percolate in your mind where you're like, whoa, this could actually just like be a thing I do.
Yeah. So this time last year, I started a video production company called Folktale Film, and I was doing legacy videos for people where I would like interview someone all about their life, and it would be saved for like their grandkids and great grandkids. And I really loved doing that. But something still creatively wasn't getting scratched. And so my friend Sasha was like, you should start doing more comedy based stuff, like, but you need to be in front of the camera. And I was like, no, thank you. But I was like, okay, maybe I'll just do one or two. And so I did the first two, and then they did really well. And at the time, like, I think it was like 10,000 views. And I was like, whoa. I like couldn't believe how many people had watched it, and I had like 2,000 followers on Instagram. So I was like, wow, this is so crazy. And because of November Project, they have a partnership. I'm no longer working with them, but I used to work with them for years, and they have a partnership with Brooks Running. And so I had a contact there, and kind of just from being in the running community for so long and through NP, I have a good amount of contacts over like a few different brands. So I'm really lucky in that way. And so I emailed it to Brooks and I was like, do you guys like interested in more of these? And they were the first person to people to like perk up and be like, yep, we want more. Like, this is really fun. And so that kind of like got me going into thinking like, oh, maybe I could do this, and for other brands as well, and for other things. And because I started that video production company, it's like I know how to use a camera as well. And I think that that's been the big difference too. Like, I'm not just making these on my iPhone, which that's also great too. I'm not saying that mine are better, but like it's a different feel. And I don't know. I got really into like figuring out how to film myself. Like, I do these all by myself. So like, it's a lot of like tripods and like me filming myself in the woods, like a complete weirdo. And then I started getting more work. I also was getting more legacy videos. I was getting more of everything. And it just got hard to work at the hospital because I was asking for so much time off. And I was like, all right, I think I'm just going to take a break because I have enough work through the end of the year to sustain me. And now it's completely taken off. So I'm really, really happy that I stopped working because to balance those two would have been so hard. And so, yeah, so full time, I'm like creating videos for brands. I'm also doing 2 or 3 legacy videos a month. I'm doing just some random stuff like participating with Believe in the Run and New Balance in New York City. Like that was a big kind of chunk of content that I had to produce. So it's been kind of like a little bit of everything. I really want to do more live show entertainment type deal. Like I would love to kind of do more hosting and that type of stuff, but I'm kind of reimagining where I would fit into this run world. So like, would I be a traditional host? Like I'm not really interested in that too much. Like I want to do something a little bit different. So kind of like dreaming up what it would look like and then trying to sell it to these brands, especially around like marathons or trail runs or something like that.
Well, everybody loves a beginner story, like a road to your first ultra or something, but like with a hilarious.
Right. Right. Well, that's like a lot of content creators end up choosing 1 or 2 marathons a year. And then all their content is about training for that said marathon. And I just don't think that's me because like while I did it for New York, like I'm not someone who runs more than 1 marathon a year and I don't have any like real interest in it. Like it's very somewhat mundane to me. Like just getting out and running kind of the same miles every day. And so trying to like figure out how to mix it up and keep things more interesting, like maybe even just like branch into different sports in the outdoor industry in general.
That's how I got into my first goal of like my life was to start a blog of doing every sport in the world. Turns out there's like 8,000 of them and some of them you play with like dead goats. And I was like, what did I just get myself into?
But and like you did it to yourself. That's the best part.
And then I went to do like trail running to tick that off my box. And I was like, you know what? Probably just never gonna do anything else. This is good now.
Well, it's so interesting because like I do want to branch out and like I have been like eyeing some like gravel bike races and like things like that. That would be very, very fun to dip my toe in, especially as a beginner. Yes. Because the run world is so small, and I do think that like I could just live in this space, but like I don't necessarily want to just live in this space. And so we'll see where it takes me, you know, like hopefully my humor can transcend into other sports, or maybe I'll just have to come back to running because like runners are just like a little bit more predictable in what they find funny.
Well, okay, so that is my next question. How do you come up with your things? Because they're so like, yeah, that first cup of coffee in the morning is basically crack. Like it's the closest I feel like a smoker ever where I'm like, this is must be what it's like for them. The like no one cares thing, I think is something that we have told a close friend who's hyperventilating about a race for like our whole life, but nobody's like been able to articulate it well enough to put into a video. So are you just like on the bus and think about these things, or when do you come up with your ideas?
Yeah, honestly, a lot of it comes up when I'm running because your brain just starts drifting into outer space. Some of my friends help a lot. Like I said, I'm surrounded by very funny runners. And so people will drop ideas or text me. Some will come up with like a base and then I make it kind of more of a skit. So yeah, like it's definitely more of a collaborative experience, which I enjoy. Like I wish I had like a team of like I picture myself sitting down with SNL writers. Like I want a whole kitchen table full of writers. Like, and I would be happy to not even be in any of them. Like I would love to just like write them for other people to do because I don't find myself particularly funny, but I think that like the premise of these jokes is just a lot of them are like almost like layups, right? Like, you know that people will laugh at themselves. Like they'll see themselves in the taper video. Yes. And like that one didn't take very long to make because I was like, well, we all know what the two people are that like to taper or don't like, you know, it's like, if you've been a lifelong runner, like this stuff is not that some of it's creative, some of it's not creative at all. Some of it is just some things that we've been joking about for years or like talking about for years. And I just like put it on a video. So I don't know. It's a combination of both. I'm by myself all the time now that I'm doing this, which is a bummer because actually one of my favorite parts of being a PT is working on a team. So like it actually, it's kind of the worst, like working from home all day alone. So at times I'll just call my friends out of the blue and I'll be like, so got anything funny for me? And like even if they don't, like the two of us on that call can sometimes brainstorm something that turns into something completely different, but like it just helps talking it out. So I feel really lucky in that sense. I just wish I had people in Boston, like boots on the ground that like could help me make these because it just would be so much more fun for me.
Totally. You're right. And the like, yes, and part of being with a group is like where the super funny stuff comes up, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Or like on a run, like my best running friend in Boston is pregnant, which sucks because
yeah, 8 of them. I get it.
Running anymore. And I'm like, damn it. but now very happy for her. but yeah, so like those types of things, like, oh, I had such a strong, I haven't like developed my running crew in Boston because when I moved here, I was pregnant. It's just been like a whole lot of pregnancy and postpartum. And so I miss my SF crew of like just every morning being out there and laughing our asses off, you know. It's such a good feeling. So I got to find it here.
You will. I'm sure you will. Okay. Couple of last questions. On like a personal note, what are your long-term running goals, like just for the sport of running?
Like personal, like for me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I go back and forth because I am a very competitive person. So like, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go out there and have fun. Like I will never be that person. I like to go out and have large chunks of training that are slow miles, not training for anything. Like that I can do, but like I will never sign up for a race just to have fun. I will only step on a starting line ready to race. So I probably just won't race for a year. but no, I would like my ultimate goal is to run well into my life. Now, what I have to do that, like if that means not race hard or that means like take better care of my body by only running 3 or 4 days a week, like I will do whatever it takes to run for as long as I can in my life. So like that's always number one. But I personally would love a new PR in the half. And I also want to try out the 10K. I've actually never run a road 10K.
Isn't that so funny how that happens? You're like, oh,
I've never run a road 5K. I've never run a road 5K. Isn't that so weird? That's went from like track to the marathon. Like what?
Yeah, no, just get as far away from that 800 meters as possible.
The 5K honestly seems way too fast for me at this.
Oh, it's age. Absolutely terrible.
So I feel like the 10K, but the half might be a good spot for me.
Your half PR is quite quick already, isn't it?
Well, it was also, I believe, on a somewhat downhill course in Berkeley. Where on the West Coast are you?
I'm in Vancouver.
Oh, okay. You're way up
Canadian.
But yeah, the course is very fast. It's a 127 something, but it was a fast course. So I would be open to a downhill half. and like to properly train, like let's see if I like do speed work. And then like, I don't know, that was like way before carbon shoes. So like how much extra can I get out of those carbon shoes? You know, like give me some super shoes and see how much faster I can go. But yeah. And then like, I would get back on the trails again. I will say, as competitive as I am, and I was very competitive in that 50K that I ran because I was running against friends, which again, no mercy. I'm not here to like run with you in a 50K. I'm here to beat you in the 50K. Yes. But But like, I'm at the point with trail running, especially around Boston, where it's not as accessible as like SF, whereas I think I would just like enjoy being out there. It's a different experience than a road race. You're not worried about time. It's just like, it's more just like the challenge. So I'd be open to it, especially if it was like somewhere cool that I've never been. And I really,
well, that's the cool part. If you want to just do a long, fun, like build of just fun miles, and then you do like a competitive 100K or something, and you're like trying to go fast while like not puke on your shoes. And it's like this whole other like set of problems to solve.
It is. Yeah. It's a whole other set. I just think it's like the perfect, like we were talking about UTMB when we were there. I was there filming content for Spring Energy, and me and my friends were talking about doing UTMB, but not like how it's almost just like a really nice couple days. Because like me and my husband, before we even knew what trail running was, we hiked it, and the TMB, we hiked it and we went hut to hut. And we like slept overnight. I think it took us 5 days, right? And it was lovely. But I was like, it's kind of nice if like you're in the back of the pack and you're hiking most of it, but like you also have these set places where there's food and hydration and medical waiting for you. Like how lovely.
Yeah, it's just a catered trip. Yeah.
Catered hike. It's a catered hike, and you pay like $10,000 to do it, but it's worth it. but yeah, I don't know. I'd be like open to some type of adventure. I was messaging with someone who's going to South Africa for they have a UTMB, right? Like not UTMB, but they have a big ultra race down there. And I'm like, all right, who do I need to talk to about like getting down to South Africa?
Yeah, it looks awful. Like it's very hot.
Place. Yeah. But like I have no interest in traveling for a road race. Does that make sense?
Yes. My husband and I did a 90K through the Swiss Alps for our honeymoon. Oh. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And it was like, I would never have got to go to most of that terrain or felt safe enough had it not been like an organized race.
Right. Like someone has you like tagged. Like they know you're out there.
My husband just went to work, so my kid just showed up.
Oh, what's his name?
Baker.
Hey, Baker.
He can't hear you because my headphones are in, but he waited. Can you say hi? okay, so we will go. I was going to ask you so much about NYC, but I feel like you're so easy to chat to. I just got way more into mom stuff, but that was also awesome to hear. I do want to ask, with someone with such a positive mindset, obviously in a marathon and you ran super fast, you're going to have moments where you're like, this is really, really hard. What kind of things do you say to yourself to get through the toughest moments?
Oh, so I, this one in particular, maybe because it was so warm and so like, okay, a little like race breakdown for you. I did no hill training, which was a bad idea. And then also I will say I was in the New Balance shoes that kind of roll you forward as all carbon shoes do. My body like has never really adjusted well to those. And so while they are very comfortable and fast, they kind of would hurt my quads a lot in every single run. And I was really hoping that I'd get to rest day and then I would just be like, fine. But it didn't work out that way. And like, as we came down that steep bridge, off Staten Island, we were only at mile two and already my quads were screaming at me, especially my IT bands. And I was like, uh-oh. And it's because they weren't used to like the steep downhills. And also my quads were like not loving the shoes. And so anyways, that was my big trouble throughout New York. Like by mile seven, my legs were like fully shut down to the point where, you know, when you feel like you're kind of running on stilts because your quads are like off. They're like,
I do. Mile seven's awfully early for
it's
that.
It's so early. But I was like, this I can handle. Like the really dehydrated people, like they were going to have to stop and walk. But like turned off quads, I'll just have to slow down a little and I'll be fine. I'll just manage to get there. So me and my stilt legs made it through 26 miles, but the hardest parts were actually the downhills off the bridges. I was welcoming uphills. The downhills were like screaming at me. And the thing that I did, which I've always done, is I put my head down and I grind. So like I'll watch people's feet in front of me and I'll put my hat down like way over my eyes. There's no distraction. I don't listen to music. I'm just watching their feet. And as long as I watch their feet and I like concentrate on the rhythm of my breath, like people talk about the Queensboro Bridge. I think because everyone hyped it up as being the hardest part of the race, everyone was dreading it. And so was I, but it actually ended up being like this really meditative moment for me where I was like, okay, let's take a breath. There's no crowds. Like I can just watch someone's feet and just grind. And like that actually makes the miles go by way faster than me for me than like getting into the crowds and like cheering alongside them and like smiling at them. Like that's all fun, but like that will make the race so much longer for me. So like if anyone actually saw me out there, like my hat was down over my eyes. I was like just looking down at the person's feet in front of me, like looking like I was having a miserable time. I was enjoying it, but that was the only way to get me through. And it went by so much faster that way. So I don't know. Just put your head down and grind. That's just sometimes what you got to do to survive.
No, that's exactly what Ellie Greenwood said. That was like her exact quote. And she has like the 100-mile women's record of all time. She's like, you just have to put your head down and run.
Like, yeah, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so much. Yeah.
That means you have to go do the Comrades Marathon.
Yeah. Know that one. Right. Like no interest. I couldn't have less interest.
Okay. Fair. Okay. So last couple of questions. After a long run or a long race, actually a long marathon, what is your favorite post-race meal?
Oh, pizza. I'm a huge pizza fan. It's usually my pre-race and my post-race meal. Actually, this year we had these huge burgers. I think that my body just craves protein. And so the burger always feels good too.
Yeah. And like the salt and the thickness. Yes. And all that. I can get
that. Yeah. Extra salt on those fries.
Yes. If you could describe running in three words, what would they be?
Ooh, freeing, consistent, and I don't know if like this is like a descriptive word, but I would just put it as identity.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. That's also scary, but I like it. Mm. If I break my leg, I got some problems. Okay, one sec, buddy. He just pooped, so he can just sit there and wait for me to wipe his butt for just a second. it's a great way to end this.
Smell it through the computer.
Well, I want to thank you so much. If our listeners want to see all the amazing things we chatted about from your Instagram, where can they find you and or website and all your stuff? Plug your stuff.
Yeah, all my stuff is kind of on Instagram at Laura McGreen. My name is Laura Green, but McCleskey is my maiden name, so it stays in there. I have like 8 followers on TikTok if you want to follow me there.
Nice.
For all you Gen Zers out there, find me on TikTok.
All right, awesome. Well, I'll link to that in the show notes as well. And I better close this. All right, well, thank you so much. And I will shoot you an email to tell you some follow-up stuff from this.
Awesome. Thank you so much.